the weaponry of the end of the universe, and this young idiot is practically coming in his pants.
Oh, you're just a spoil sparkler, Jelly, Lenny Pobre said to the Mondladishian, stopping dancing and dropping his punching arms to turn away and slouch off toward the shuttle. As he passed Yalson and Hawser, he muttered,
Yalson, what the hell is Cam anyway?
Collapsed antimatter, kid. Yalson smiled as Lenny Pobre kept on walking. Hawser laughed soundlessly as the young man's head nodded inside the open neck of his suit. He walked into the open rear of the shuttle. The clear air turbulence rolled. The shuttle left the hangar and flew along the underside of the Vavach orbital, leaving the spacecraft flying underneath like a tiny silver fish under the hull of some great dark ship. On a small screen, fitted at one end of the shuttle's main compartment since its last outing, the suited figures could watch the seemingly endless curve of ultra-dense base material stretching off into the dark distance lit by starlight. It was like flying upside down over a planet made of metal, and of all the sights the galaxy held which were the result of conscious effort, it was one bested for what the culture would call GORP value, only by a big ring or a sphere. The shuttle crossed 1,000 kilometers of the smooth undersurface, then suddenly, above it, there was a wedge of darkness, a slant of something which looked even smoother than the base material, but which was clear, transparent, and angling out from the base itself and slicing into space like the edge of a crystal knife for 2,000 kilometers. The edge wall. This was the wall, bordered by sea, on the far side of the orbital, from the thread of land they had seen on their approach in the cat. The first 10 kilometers of the flat curve were dark as space. Their mirror surface showed only when stars reflected on them. And looking at that perfect image, the mind could spin, seeing for what looked like light years, when in fact the surface was only a few thousand meters away.
God, that thing's big,
Nysin whispered. The shuttle continued to rise, and above it there appeared through the wall a glow of light, a shining expanse of blue. Into sunlight, hardly filtered through the transparent wall, the shuttle climbed in empty space beside the edge wall. 2 kilometers away there was air, even if it was thin air, but the shuttle climbed in nothing, angling out along with the wall as it sloped towards its line of summit. The shuttle crossed that knife edge, 2,000 kilometers up from the base of the orbital, then started to follow the slope of wall back down on the inside. It passed through the orbital's magnetic field, a region where small magnetized particles of artificial dust blocked out some of the sun's rays, so making the sea below it cooler than elsewhere on the world, producing Vavach's different climates. The shuttle continued to fall, through ions, then thin gases, finally into thin and cloudless air, shuddering in a Coriolis jet stream. The sky above turned from black to blue. The orbital of Vavach, a 14-million-kilometre hoop of water seemingly hung naked in space, spread out before the falling craft like some vast circular painting.
Well, at least we're in daylight, Yalson said. Let's just hope our captain's information about exactly where this wonderful ship is turns out to be accurate.
The screen showed clouds. As the shuttle fell and flew, it was coming down onto a false landscape of water vapour. The clouds seemed to stretch forever along the curved inside surface of the orbital, which even from that height looked flat, then sweeping up into the black sky above. Only much further away could they see the blue expanse of real ocean, though there were hints of smaller patches closer to hand.
Don't worry about the cloud, Craiglin said over the cabin speaker. That'll shift as the morning wears on.
The shuttle was still dropping, still flying forward through the thickening atmosphere. After a while, they started going through the first few very high-altitude clouds. Hawser shifted slightly in his suit. Ever since the cat had matched velocities and curve with the big orbital and turned off its own AG, the craft and the company had been under the same fake gravity of the construction's spin. Slightly more, in fact, because they were stationary relative to the base, but further out from it. Vavach, whose original builders had come from a higher G planet, was spun to produce about 20% more gravity than the accepted human average which the cat's generator was set for. So Hawser, like the rest of the company, felt heavier than he was used to. His suit was chafing already. Clouds filled the cabin screen with grey.
There it is,
Craiglin shouted, not trying to keep the excitement from his voice. He had been quiet for almost a quarter of an hour, and people had started to get restless. The shuttle had banked a few times this way and that, apparently searching for the Olmedrekka. Sometimes the screen had been clear, showing layers of cloud beneath. Sometimes it hazed over with grey again as they entered another bank or pillar of vapour. Once it had iced over.
"I can see the topmost towers,"